Your team just added its 67th AI tool and also your 67th security blind spot. The good news, the Vantor agent works like a GRC engineer in the background, finding every app your team uses, scoring the risk, and drafting fixes for you. Vantor is the platform used by over 16,000 fast-moving companies like Synthesia, Nando's, and Granola, who are shaping the future with AI and staying ahead of AI risk. Get started at Vantor.com.
What if the biggest threat to your health isn't stress? It's the belief that you have to do it all. Millions of women are trying to be the perfect employee, the perfect mother, the perfect partner, and somehow still build financial security. They're beyond exhausted, they're overwhelmed, and they're wondering why success feels so hard. So today we're talking about the hidden burnout crisis facing working mothers and how changing your relationship with money, mindset, and expectations can completely transform your life. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today we're bringing on two incredible experts to tackle a challenge affecting women everywhere. First, returning to the show is Dr. Susan Landers. She's a neonatologist, author of so many babies, and a passionate advocate for mothers and families all over the world. Joining her is Dr. Tabitha Russell, a best-selling author, keynote speaker, financial strategist, and founder of Inside Inspired Women. So through her work helping women build confidence, courage, and multiple income streams, she's empowering women to stop surviving and start thriving. So together, they're going to be discussing why so many working mothers are burning out, high financial stress and mindset play a major role, and what women can do to reclaim their time, energy, confidence, and future. Ladies, welcome to the show. I'll let you take it from here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lisa. Great introduction.
Yes.
Dr. Russell has spoken to many corporate stages where women in business are eager to learn how to take control of things that are in their control. Part of learning to get along in life, especially in leadership, is recognizing what you can control and what you cannot control.
That's right.
And sometimes I feel like high-achieving women, women in leadership positions especially, get a little overwhelmed with trying to manage, fix, control, take care of things that aren't theirs to do that. And so I wanted to start with that piece about our mindset. And I know Tabitha speaks about this. What things should we think about that really are in our control as we work and live and care for our families?
Yeah, first of all, that you are enough, right? So sometimes I find that a lot of high-achieving leaders have those areas where they feel like they're not enough, right? We already are taking care of the family. Many are entrepreneurs themselves or work a full-time job and have so many other tasks on a regular basis that they do. And it sometimes gets to where it's overwhelming. And it's like, wow, you know, I can do these things well, but in these other areas, I'm just simply not enough. And so having the notion of knowing that you're doing an amazing job, give yourself some grace, allow yourself, you know, to have those moments. Those are real feelings. They're valid, but then continue to keep processing through, right? A lot of times I find that, you know, people are good with processing through, but they bring so many areas of baggage along with them. Instead of letting some of that stuff go and just continue to move forward, they continue to bring those and pile everything on. And so it can be a real thing to allow yourself some space to say that you're more than enough and that you can do this as well.
Right. My daughter is a great example of this. She is a pediatric ICU nurse practitioner. She works full time, 50 plus hours a week, because she's always volunteering to cover for somebody else. She has a leadership position in her group. She has two children. She's married to a product developer who works at Whole Foods. They have a very busy life. And I found her scrolling on Instagram one day, and she does a really good job with her very busy life. She's involved with her children. She and her husband have a good marriage. And she said, "Mom, my house is not good enough." I'm going, "What in the world?" She said, "Well, really, it's either messy or it doesn't match, or I need to do this, or I need to do..." Honey, I said, "Honey, you're doing so well. You work your fanny off. You're a good mom to your kids. You have a good marriage. That is enough." Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and she said, "Really? Are you sure?" I mean, so where did these young women, especially millennials, get this idea that they need to do more, that they're not enough?
Yeah, a lot of times social media has a lot to do with that, right? Like, I find that 90% of my clients that get to those stages are looking at social media way mm-hmm. too much. Right. Yeah. So that occasional scroll that they're doing, it gets them to a place of where they get FOMO, fear of missing out, or sometimes that, that comparison thing or imposter syndrome. It's mm-hmm. so many things that come up from that. And they really do attach themselves to some of that. Right. So a lot of times I'm telling my clients, first of all, to allow yourself the space to be able to say, you know, everything I have is amazing, because mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. people out there that will give their right arm and left leg and hop around just so that they could have their life. Right. Yeah. How many people yeah. would want to trade with her today to have her life? So
funny.
Exactly. So I'm just like, or how many people can say that they're an actual pediatric, you know, nurse, right? That she's at the top of her field doing an amazing job. She's in leadership. I mean, sometimes we have to remind ourselves of all the things that we do. So there's several techniques sometimes that I'll take people through, right? Tell me all the things that's going good, and then write down all the things that's bad. Which one sticks out more? Generally, it's the things that's going good, right? So, but even in our mindset, sometimes we have to see it, right? And having the opportunity to see it allows us to be able to say, you know what, wait a minute, you know, I did that well, I'm doing this. So
doing
it makes
okay.
a difference for sure.
Right. I heard a definition of imposter syndrome a while back that I want to share, but I'm paraphrasing. Women who have high goals, who may have imposter syndrome, where they feel like they're not enough or they didn't do it well enough, need to remember that when they reach those goals and they feel like an imposter, mm-hmm. it's because they're always going to have another set of higher goals.
That's right.
I remember in my career, oh, if I just got promoted. Oh, if I just published this paper. Oh, if I just got on this committee. Oh, if I just got promoted again. Oh, if I just was on this review board. Everything I achieved and wondered if I really deserved it. And then I set my sights on something even bigger. And so imposter syndrome is women who want to achieve things, and they do, mm-hmm. and then they stack up more achievements on top of them, mm-hmm. which makes them feel like they're not there yet or they're not good enough yet. As mm-hmm. you say, you have to tell yourself that you are enough.
That's right. That's right. I agree. I quite often tell all of my clients, not just some, but all of them, that you have to become the person that can handle the next level. So as you are, excelling and doing well and going after the next things, there's a lot of things that's happening that causes that fear of being not enough. The comparison syndrome and the different feelings that come up. I quite often like to say that all those feelings are valid, so allow yourself to feel them, but have a strategy to keep going, right? Sometimes for some of us, we have to identify what our triggers are, right? If social media is a trigger for you, you might need to take a time out, right? You may need to disassociate yourself just a little bit, or don't follow those pages that's going to allow you to be able to get in a space where it's going to challenge you to feel those feelings that make you feel inadequate. So, for example, I quite often like to say, I told someone recently, stop following all of the channels about food. You know, if you got a challenge with that, then just stay away from it, right?
All right. All right.
I am a self-proclaimed foodie, right?
Oh, you are.
I love. That's, you know, one of our pastimes. However, I compare that to other people when they're following these influencers and these people that are living, quote unquote, these lavish lives. You sometimes will find that there's a difference when you see them behind closed doors, mm-hmm. right? Or you mm-hmm. see them on the side, on the street somewhere. It's a little different. So know that you are positioning yourself in the proper way and run your own race, right? Be okay with that.
Yeah. The other thing about social media that I like to point out to young, high achieving women is that humans are naturally a comparison freaks. We love to compare ourselves to others. We always try to measure each other up. And so what social media has done is really dug into that tendency of wanting to compare ourselves. And it allows us to take a more negative view of ourselves when we're comparing, because our posts aren't curated like the mom influencers. Mm-hmm. Our posts are more realistic, and it's just unfortunate that women don't realize that their brain sort of takes them there to comparison naturally. And one of the ways to get away from that is to get away from it, to stop scrolling.
Absolutely. I will say that we are the best versions of ourselves today without any help, right? I quite often like to also stress that if you find that you are constantly at a point of contention, meaning that at that same space of where you're not enough or you feel inadequate or less than, maybe it could be time that you get a little bit of help, right? Yes, cut the social media off, but then take the time to talk with someone that can help you work through those areas that you have where it makes you feel that way, right? Identify the triggers, learn some techniques that can help you to bring your anxiety levels down and just really get back on track. And so for me, what I find is that for your daughter, for example, it could be the social media. Well, for 70 to 80% of other people, the other contention is money, right? And so when we start looking at and comparing and all of that, there's a huge area and a huge gap in our society, right? There's the uber ultra rich. Right?
They're way up here. The rest of us are down here.
Agree. And it used to be where people were comfortable with being middle class, right?
Right.
Well, that gap has slowly shortened because mm-hmm. the middle class used to be here, right? Well, inflation and all the things, you know, how they say pay increases, inflation has now outpaced pay increases.
Yeah.
So therefore, middle class is a little bit down, and then the ultra filthy rich is way up here, right? Like they own 90, I think it's roughly 92% of everything.
And right? You know, the other factor I also like to point out to millennial mm-hmm. women and Gen X women is that we make less money than men in
yes.
equal roles, in
yes.
equal jobs. We are mm-hmm. making 80 to 84%
right.
what men are making. And the more we talk about our salaries with mm-hmm. each other,
mm-hmm.
with men, with mm-hmm. our spouse or partner, the more we understand that we're at a little bit of a disadvantage. And yes, women have to work harder. We have to prove ourselves. Our culture has not gotten up to the place where women are achieving, women are leaders. I mean, they have in some instances, but not as a general rule, Tabitha. I think as a general rule, women think they have to prove themselves to make an adequate salary.
That has been the case since the beginning of time, right?
Mm.
Always have been at a disadvantage. Well, there's some areas that the gaps are slowly closing, right? Like there's more women that own homes nowadays. There's a lot of women that own businesses and that are doing their own, you know, private practices and different things like that. So there's some areas that we're excelling at. But when it comes to corporate America, of course, because of the structure that is there, that's where you find the gaps, right? That's where you find the disadvantages. There's not all things equal when it comes to the jobs and the roles between men and women. So having those different levels of complexity just shows us that we need to continue to push the level, right, to be able to speak up for ourselves. First of all, we do a very good job with positioning ourselves. However, sometimes we don't sell it completely to say, I deserve the right, first of all, to be at the table just like everyone else, but I also deserve the right to be paid equal and fair salary based upon the job that I do. And so we see that coming about just a little bit, but it could definitely be a little bit more. And I think that as we continue to move forward, we'll start to see a little bit of a change as well.
Yeah, and you know, we don't talk much about finances when we're discussing burnout and working women, but it does play a role. It's one of those things that's in the back of your mind, especially for single mothers, and especially for people in the middle class who are having a hard time right now. I think finances are clearly part of the invisible labor that we all feel. What's going on at home? What's going on with the kids? Who's taking care of the house? Who's doing the chores? Who's getting the car fixed? Who's going to return the library books? Who's going to the teacher conference? That, and you know, that's just the basic stuff of having children and working for a living, and oh, did I overdraw my checking account? You know, I always made a pretty good salary as a physician, and there were times when I was so busy, I didn't balance my checkbook back in the old days when we had checkbooks. So one good thing now is all the online banking, but I'm guilty of not even keeping up with how much money I spent and how much money I made. And so I think that finances are a big part of what we worry about. Can I afford all the school clothes? Can I afford the summer camps?
Right.
My daughter has her kids in 10 summer camps this summer in 10 weeks. And I went, how did you do all that? And she said, Mom, I've been working on it since February. I went, you got to be kidding me. It used to be not this hard. And so there's a cost to everything. There's a time commitment to everything. There are worries about whether a particular child will be with a friend or will be with a new group. And all of those things we carry as women in the back of our mind, and we go to work and we take it with us. We all carry it with us.
That's right. We do quite often. One of the things that I think over the course of time that I've studied is that we're great multitaskers, right? So when we think about how women evolved and they started working like from way back in the day, right? The men would go mm-hmm. out, they would make the money, they bring the money home, and we were the managers, right? We took care of everything, the home, got the car serviced, all the things, right? Even baked our own bread, right? Because that was that dichotomy, as we move forward, there's a lot of those pieces that we continue to bring along with us from those times, including now taking on the task of going to work, right? Because we could manage everything else. Now we're managing, let's go to work. Well, when the finances come in there, there's a couple of things that I find that is extremely beneficial, right? You cannot manage what you cannot see, right?
Mm-hmm. So that's for sure.
One of the greatest inventions ever was that little checkbook ledger, right? Mm-hmm. That when it came mm-hmm. out. Well, today we have apps, right? And that app is attached to, if you do it right, attach it to every single card that you have, the debit card, the credit cards, the FSA, the HSA, all the cards, so you can keep up with that stuff, right? Well, at the end of the month, it's going to give you a ledger, right? And that ledger is going to say, this is how much you spent, this is how much money you had coming in, this is all the things, because you can attach everything to it right there. I don't want to give a necessary plug, but there's some really good apps out there. One that's my favorite, the one that's called Rocket Money, right? Rocket Money is my favorite because it allows you to track everything right there. Everything that's going into your account. And if it does not recognize what category it needs to go in, it will categorize it for you. So you get the opportunity to see everything right there. Based upon that, now you can set a budget, right? Were you within the budget? Did you go outside of the budget? As well as it monitors all of your subscriptions. So subscriptions is another pitfall for a lot of people when it comes to finances, right? Mm-hmm. I too have been guilty where I paid for it a month or two longer than I should have. Well, you can cancel it in the Rocket Money app and it will get the money for you.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I need that app. But, you know, talking about the things we can and can't control, mm-hmm. our money is one of the things that we can control.
Right.
The hours we work, we can control. How we interact with our boss or manager or mm-hmm. the person, administrator.
Mm-hmm.
The time that we have with our children, the conversations that we have with our spouse or partner. Mm-hmm. One of the best things I ever did, besides talking about money with my mm-hmm. husband, because he's real tight with money, and I like to spend money, and he likes to keep it and save it. So we always had to talk about mm-hmm. how much was there and what we spend it on. Sat down and made a budget, but the mm-hmm. old-fashioned way, where we listed everything on paper.
Mm-hmm.
That app sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing we have to talk with our spouse or our partner about are the household chores, the mm-hmm. invisible labor that we
mm-hmm.
all do.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us cannot afford a housekeeper.
Right.
We can barely afford childcare.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to share the load. Again, mm-hmm. what's in our control?
Right.
It's in our control to make a list of all the things that we do at home, to share that with our spouse or our partner, to come up with some division of labor that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Because it took me a long time to convince my husband that he was not doing half as much as I was doing. I had to write down appointment with pediatrician, appointment with dentist, visit with orthodontist, parent-teacher conference at school,
mm-hmm.
Review the nanny finances and pay her taxes. He went, "You're doing that?" I said, "Yes, I'm doing that." So he had no idea
mm-hmm.
that all of that had to be done to manage a household with more than one child.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. And
it is.
yes, it's controllable, but is it understood by your spouse or partner? Are we carrying around invisible labor that we're not sharing with our spouse or partner, especially if it costs money?
That's right. No, I like how you stated that, the invisible labor, right? There's so many things or strings, I like to say, that's attached to us, right? We're like, we're multifaceted automatically, right? I always like to say that we're all diamonds and we shine bright because of the many facets of things that we do. And so for you, writing it down and having that conversation with your husband was the key to allow him to be able to know all the things that you do. Well, yeah. That may very well work for a lot of households, right? Mm-hmm. I created a 10-minute conversation starter on my website, for example.
Oh, right? Wow.
DrRussell.com. But it is where we as a family come together and we have the talks of what's going well, what could be done differently, and what's the strategy moving forward, right? If I'm saying that I am teaching generational wealth, well, it has to start in the home, and it starts with us, right? Those that are in leadership. Well, all of the habits and the behaviors and the things that we start to do easily get passed down, right? The women, I believe that we're natural nurturers because we're the mm-hmm. nucleus of the family, right?
We
have the ability to disseminate information to every individual in the family. We spend the most times with the children mm-hmm. and we spend the most time with our spouses and partners, right? So therefore, we get the opportunity to have the biggest impact, even though the men are the head of the home. So we have to come up with a strategy that can be implementable, right? Implement it within the home and then get everybody involved. So having a little conversation starter sometimes is the key, because conversation, I say, solve 90 to 97% of most problems.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick little anecdote. My husband and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary recently.
Congratulations.
And we were on a trip. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful to be married to somebody that long. We were on a trip and several people said, "What's the secret to a long and happy marriage? You're both working the whole time. You were busy. You had three kids." I thought for a minute and I said, "Communication."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he crossed his arms over his chest and he thought for a minute and he said, "Forgiveness."
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great? I mean, that is so great.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good summary of how we handle the emotional load, how we handle finances, how we handle the invisible labor, how we handle working for a living, because we're also moms. And mm-hmm. we don't think about work the way they think about work.
Mm-hmm.
Most women work to solve a problem,
mm-hmm.
not to make money.
Right.
Making money is good, and mm-hmm. we should get paid fairly for what we do, but most women go to work to solve a problem, and that's not why most men go to work. They go to work to make money and to support their family, and I think the way there are gender differences, I think, in the way men and women think about making money and providing for their family. What do you think about that?
No, I agree with you. Think about when we're growing up, right? Guys are bought, they're bought tools. Back in the day, it was Tonka trucks.
Mm-hmm.
It was all these things preparing them to be a worker. Where
yeah.
we were bought baby dolls
uh-huh.
and kitchen sets
uh-huh.
and all the little brooms and vacuums and stuff like that. And it created in our minds the divide on which way we're going to go.
Yeah.
And so it is interesting to see how that just naturally progresses and move forward as we grow up. So
yeah.
guys are taught and trained, hey, be a man, be hard, you know, go out there and get a good job, you know, be competitive. Even though we as women sometimes have that competitive edge, but we will, you know, beat you in the race and go back and give you a hug and say, good job, try again next time, right?
Yeah, because
we're just natural nurturers and we love to pick each other up. So for us, I do agree that it is that we have an attachment to serve and to help and to nurture and care about in the role of a job, where guys are like, man, get out my way. I'm trying to make this money and I got to take care of my family. So we see those behaviors show up a lot in the workplace, just naturally, right? And I believe that it's ingrained in us as well. So when it comes to, you know, how that equates to our finances, the guys are going to go after it. The women are like, you know what? I really like my job. I'm okay with doing what I do.
And a caution for women managers and women administrators. We care about our teams and we nurture and question our teams more than men. We want to make sure everybody's doing okay. And we may even spend extra time doing that, keeping everything together, making sure everybody's happy. Most male managers don't do that unless they've learned that that is a positive way to nurture your employees. Women naturally do that. Mm-hmm. And it takes a whole lot more time to know how everybody's doing, to make sure the schedule's worked out just so, to make sure somebody's had all their questions answered about their evaluation. So women managers carry a little more emotional load at work as well as at home.
They do.
They definitely do.
Yeah, so in corporations, because I do help there, I find that sometimes there's not as much friction being with a female manager versus a male manager because of that extra layer of empathy, the extra level of understanding. Sometimes even the training and or the accommodations that's made for other mothers and those that are caregivers, right? Because we're going now from just the whole mother aspect to there's a whole generation now that are mothers and caregivers 100% of the time because, you know, for whatever reason, they may not either want to go down the route of nursing homes and different things like that. And the care is expensive. So going back to the money thing again, right? So where the guys are like, look, I'm going to need you to leave home at home and come in here, put the game face on and let's get to work. And so there's a extra level sometimes of helping those managers walk through the process of the everyday life of the employees. Oh, why is so important to have those extra touch points with your employees to know what they're going through so they come to work whole, right? They're excited about coming to work because we find that the number one day for heart attacks is Monday. Why is that? Don't nobody want to go to work, right? Yeah. You got to go ahead and face this job again. So there's a lot of different layers sometimes that have to be peeled back when we're working with executives and the leaders in the corporation so that they can understand what everybody else is experiencing so that we put some things in place to make it a more cohesive environment.
And if you're not a woman manager, if you report to a male manager, try to find a way to have a conversation about your life, your schedule, your child care accommodations, your constraints, especially if you have a special needs child or a child who learns differently. Men need to be taught, if you will. What are the circumstances of our lives at home if we're married and if we take care of children? They don't know. They've they've got a wife at home or a working spouse who's handling most of it for them. So women who report to a male manager will have to be a little more expressive about their needs and try to accommodate workout schedules that are favorable, have a half day off every week, stay late one night in exchange. I mean, there are lots of different ways that we can do this so that we can get to the school for that 3 o'clock performance. I remember when I was the only woman in my practice, Tabitha, 9 men and me. And I said, hey guys, I want to go early today. There's a program at the school. And they went, what do you mean you're going early? I said, I'm the mother. I kind of got to be there. There's a program at school. And one of them, kind of grouchy, said, okay, well, I'll cover for you, but, you know, we don't usually do that. And then there was another time when I had a kid sick with strep throat, and I called in and I said, she's really ill. I got to take her to the doctor. I'll be late. And they're going, well, we don't usually do that. And I went, I know, I'll stay late. I'll make up for it. It's different for women. It's very different for us when you throw kids into the mix, because kids require care, health care, teaching, child care, all of the above.
Yeah, no, I love this. So I have had the privilege and the honor to be in male-dominated fields the most of my corporate career. So I was a store manager of a very prominent auto parts store. I also worked in IT where I had 18 guys reporting to me, right?
Wow.
I'm the only female in the whole department, and 18 guys reported to me. So therefore, I've had the opportunity to see how that works, right? In the automotive industry, the guys would come in and they walk straight past me and go down here and ask one of the guys for whatever, and they didn't know, like turning rotors, for example. And now you got to come back and you got to get me to go help them to set me.
What a transition.
Yes, absolutely. So I do understand that, you know, I think for the majority of us, we take pride in what it is that we do, right? Guys, really, they take that to the next level. Like, it's on 10 for them at all times. Like, I gotta show up. I gotta do my part. I gotta be, you know, Mr. Man at all times. So there is a lot of things that we look at. But over the course of time, as we started to get women into either in the automotive industry and or either in the IT roles, there had to be some sensitivity training that we would do, right? Yeah. Especially when our customers would call in or the customers came in the store, have some understanding for whatever the situation is and allow them the opportunity, first of all, to talk, be some good listeners, and then let's move forward in whatever it is that needs to be done. What I find is most of the time with the guys, they don't want all the backstory. They don't want the chit chat, none of that stuff. Just tell me what it is. Let's get to it and let's get it done. Right. So over time, we can definitely invoke change, but it starts with us.
Yeah.
And then understanding where they are in their journey as well. Because, you know, guys, because they may not communicate and talk a lot, they internalize a lot as well. So we get the the pleasure and the honor of being able to help them bring that out as well.
Yes. Yes, we do. We're the empaths in the office, in the practice. Oh, Tabitha, we have covered so many things that influence how we work and live, how we think about our work and our finances and our balancing our life. What final message do you have for our listeners about women at work, women in leadership?
I would say being a woman in leadership today is such a great responsibility, right? So continue to do the best that you can. I quite often say, if we're going to do any one thing, master it, right? Learn everything that there is to know about your role and continue to build on it, right? Learners are earners, and we get the opportunity to really impact everyone that reports to us, right? Yeah. Whether that is in the home, whether it's in the community, whether it's at work or in the marketplace, if you're an entrepreneur, either way, we get the opportunity to leave an impartation with everybody that we meet. So us doing self-development, right, along with some self-care, allows our buckets to be full at all times. So we give out goodness instead of what's left over. So
that.
Thank you.
If we fill up ourselves with what we know we need to keep a balanced life, then we are more able to pour out the best parts of ourselves at work, not just at home. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That is such great advice. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
For this lively discussion that we've had about women at work, balancing work and life, talking about finances. And tell us again your website.
Yes, my website is drtabitharussell.com.
And you are the CEO of Inside Inspired Women Global.
Yes.
Is that where you have the conversation starter?
Yes, it's on my website. You have the conversation started there. You also have a money archetype assessment.
All
because
right.
There's different personalities that go along with our money habits. So there's a few different free gifts there as well.
Nice. I'm gonna try that out. I want to know what my money architect is. Oh my gosh, retirement is not a piece of cake. You know, you're
absolutely
living on a fixed income. It's really different.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
This has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well. It's been an honor to be here today.